Welcome to Aha with Alistair podcast. I'm Alistair Willis, music director of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Today, I'll be sharing insights on our fourth Jack M. Champagne Masterworks concert of this, our 90th anniversary season. To play all nine Beethoven symphonies is an orchestra's and conductor's dream. We began a Beethoven symphony cycle in my second season, which should have concluded in my fourth season. Little did we know that COVID would have other plans. We found a way to achieve all but the ninth symphony, which has had to wait until now, the end of my sixth season. As you know, we've paired each Beethoven symphony with top living composers, composers who we feel are as radical and relevant today as Beethoven was 250 years ago, and who may stand the test of time, as Beethoven has. The two composers we have chosen to pair with Beethoven's ninth are among the most performed composers today, Carter Pan and Mason Bates. They've both been commissioned and performed by the world's top orchestras. Between them, they've won pretty much all the composer awards there are, and have composed music with connections to Beethoven's ninth and to South Bend. Let's start with the Illinois-born, now Colorado-based, Carter Pan. We first met in 2009 in Houston, Texas, where I had the honor of premiering his Mercury Concerto, a highly virtuosic flute concerto for Christina Jennings and the River Oaks Chamber Orchestra. It had a musical energy and positivity that I'd not encountered before. I had to know more about Carter and his music. He suggested I have a listen to one of his most successful pieces, which, since its premiere in 1999, has had about 350 performances worldwide. It's called Slalom, and the title alone immediately intrigued me, as I love to ski. What I discovered was that Slalom is a musical taste of the thrill of downhill skiing. The piece was inspired as Carter himself skied while listening to classical music on his Walkman cassette player, if you remember those. He says that the exhilaration of barreling down a slope with music by Shostakovich and Rachmaninoff pumping into his ears was overwhelming. A few years after skiing with some of the greatest repertoire in his ears, it occurred to him that he could customize the experience for the concert hall. Fast forward a few years, I proposed Slalom for my audition concert here in South Bend. Now, to this day, no one has ever mentioned how well I accompanied the Mendelssohn Violin Concerto or my interpretation of Dvorak's New World Symphony, which were also on the program. But many South Benders still come up to me and tell me how much they loved Slalom. I am convinced that Slalom played a huge part in my winning the job here. And because of the lasting response Slalom continues to receive here, it was never a question of if we would play it again, but when. And since it opens by quoting the second movement of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, the time is now. The sense of adventure is palpable. There's virtuosity and infectious energy and brilliant orchestration and so many notes. The ride we're taken on is specific. The mountain-based gondola run at Steamboat Springs in Colorado. This took Carter about 10 minutes to ski, so that's how long the piece is. Well, he tells me now he can do it in 8 minutes, but don't worry, we're not going to try and match that. Along the way, we hear quotes and influences from other composers like Bernstein, Mahler, Prokofiev, Debussy, John Williams, and more. The result is an exhilarating musical ride of breathless excitement from start to finish. As the terrain levels out at the end, so does the music. There's no hard stop needed on this ski run, which the piece matches by coming to a graceful, grateful finish. We hope you enjoy hearing this fun ride again. And speaking of gratitude, I'll be forever grateful to Carter for this piece in what it did for getting me to South Bend. Our second living Beethoven is the California-based composer Mason Bates, who I first met in 2002. At the invitation of the Los Angeles Philharmonic, Mason and I were paired together as upcoming composer and conductor in a new music festival called Synergy. I'd never heard of him. He'd never heard of me. I was sent a score of his to learn, a piece called Ode. I liked it straight away as it deconstructed Beethoven's famous Ode to Joy melody. I thought it was very clever, very engaging, fresh, interesting, and I thought to myself, this Mason Bates will go far. Which proved quite the understatement in the 20 years since. Mason has gone on to be named the most performed composer of his generation and the 2018 Composer of the Year by Musical America. He's been the resident composer for the Kennedy Center and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. He's a techno DJ, a music curator of amazing events like Mercury Soul. Just Google that. He's won a Grammy for his opera, The Revolution of Steve Jobs, and another most recently for his soundtrack to the animated film Philharmonic Fantastique, The Making of the Orchestra. And like Carter Pan, Mason is no stranger to South Bend audiences. We performed two of his pieces in 2019, Mothership and his cello concerto with soloist Joshua Roman. His piece, Ode, is the perfect pairing for our upcoming concert, as it is meant to precede Beethoven's Ninth. Ode begins as if in a dream, with fragments of the Ode to Joy melody floating over illusory harmonies in the orchestra, and soon focuses on the most characteristic fragment, the ode's first three notes. Like the final movement of Beethoven's Ninth, this motif drives the transformation that follows, from the lyricism of a hopeful world into a more menacing, destructive fanfare of war. In the Ninth, Beethoven includes martial music, and we get a glimpse of that here. Mason has the orchestra stamp their feet in time while playing, which adds a fantastic dramatic edge to the music, both orally and visually. This then spins out of control, after which a pulsating harmonic world floats downwards by reversing the harmonies from the beginning and ending on the same ambiguous harmony and trembling strings with which Beethoven's Ninth begins. This makes a marvelous segue directly into Beethoven's Symphony No. 9, and in our case, we'll send the audience into the intermission with the same anticipation they will experience once they return to their seats. What I find fascinating in revisiting this early piece of Mason's is appreciating the early indications of his musical language and unique compositional style that have since led him to such great success. And with Mason's perfect segue, let's focus now on Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, one of the most iconic pieces ever composed. Over the years, I've heard this many times, observed many great conductors rehearse and perform it. I've performed it several times as a singer in the bass section of the choir and as second trumpet in the orchestra. Each time was thrilling. But preparing to conduct it for the first time, I'm not sure I can adequately describe that feeling. My teachers all warned me that it's humbling to stand before it. It is. This is such an important symphony which requires so much thought and preparation. I trembled before it and still do. The effort, though, is unbelievably rewarding and its message so important. On a personal note, Beethoven's Ninth will always have an extra special meaning for me personally. My first time conducting it was in 2015, 1 week before our daughter was born. During our Beethoven symphony cycle here in South Bend, we've heard in his first 8 symphonies how revolutionary he was, how he expanded the symphonic forms and structures, changed third movements from minuets into scherzos, expanded the orchestra, that he was going deaf starting from his 3rd symphony, and that there's something unique about each symphony. Taking about 70 minutes to perform, this symphony was his longest by at least 20 minutes. Yet the most unique ingredient in the Ninth is the addition of voices for the first time ever in a symphony. Singers appear in the final movement. And by singing words, we as listeners have no doubt as to the meaning and the message of the music. Why is this important? Well, without words, music's meaning is far more speculative. Beethoven here ensures that his message is clear, and it's one of joy, peace, and universal brotherhood. We often hear the final movement on its own, yet the first 3 movements are an essential part of the journey. For me, the first movement begins with ambiguity, as if waiting for something to happen, which becomes a march of determination intertwined with frustration, yearning, and searching. Second movements are traditionally slow. Can you imagine how surprising it must have been in 1824 to hear in context the opening of this second movement? Surely that was as impactful as Haydn's Surprise Symphony. The second movement is so full of life and energy. It really connects with Carter Pan's Slalom, and not just the opening measures which Carter quotes. The expectation next is a slow movement. Beethoven does not disappoint, and yet I wonder if anyone at the premiere was anticipating how sublime it would be, how infused with deep feelings, reflections, warmth, and for sure, love. This is arguably the most sublime slow symphonic movement he ever composed, and it starts like this. The first three movements pave the way for the final movement, which begins with chaos of the spheres, with dissonance, clashing harmonies, and blaring brass and timpani. For the next few minutes, the cellos and basses play alone seven times, asking questions, searching for something. Answers come in the form of brief musical reminders of the first three movements. And when finally a new melody is heard, it's as if this is it, what Beethoven has been searching for, and this melody is then the core of the rest of the movement. A little later on, we discover that this melody goes with words by Friedrich Schiller, his poem Ode to Joy, forever associating this symphony with hope, peace, and brotherhood. This melody has become one of the most recognizable all over the world, and for 40 years has been the anthem of the European Union. The structure of the final movement is also genius. Nothing like it had ever been composed before. Its influence on future composers was enormous. Gustav Mahler, for one, kept a score of this symphony near him when he was composing. I recall a Grammy-winning acceptance speech in 2010 by the San Francisco Symphony for their recording of Mahler's Eighth Symphony, which is nicknamed Symphony of a Thousand, as that's how many singers and musicians it takes to perform. The winner began his speech, "I'd like to thank Beethoven for being the first to include voices in a symphony, without which Mahler may have never written this piece and I might not be standing here right now." I thought that was brilliant. Though if I'd won, I would have thanked my mother first, and then Beethoven. Beethoven's music is still current today. I love what Kirill Petrenko, the chief conductor of the Berlin Philharmonic, said recently of Beethoven's Ninth. Quote, "We can learn a lot from the immortal music of Beethoven. We can find in the music a lot of strength and ways how we can go forward with empathy in our world together." End quote. Each Beethoven symphony is a world of its own, and together they constitute the most remarkable symphonic collection. April 1st, 2023 will be a momentous evening for the South Bend Symphony Orchestra and for me when we finally complete our Beethoven symphony cycle. To have journeyed through all of them here in South Bend with our wonderful musicians has been an experience and a treat that I'll never forget. Freude! And thanks for listening to Aha with Alistair.